He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my car. Hello to our listeners on this week's show, Car Keys, with Robin Leach and Jada Markin. I have a number of topics that are sort of observational topics that may interest some of you listening to us today. It certainly got my attention, and one of them had to do with what is the reality of new car insurance costs for a more average new car than a luxury car, which is probably even higher. I recently had the ability to talk to an owner who 6 months ago purchased a Honda CR-V hybrid, which she happens to love. And Jay and I have talked about this vehicle along with other Toyota and Honda vehicles of similar type in the previous shows. However, she's very upset because she traded in a car that probably was 7 years old. And I'll get to that in a minute. But she is now on a 6 month insurance annual renewal plan, which I guess is the new norm for the terms of insurance. 5 years or so ago, I was on annual insurance billing, which was very convenient and appreciated by me compared to the 6 month plan, which means you get a bill for 6 months of insurance per term instead of 1 year term. But she said that her insurance for this vehicle is $1,800 for 6 months. So multiply it by two, and that means roughly $3,600 a year. And she doesn't understand why. Her old insurance was under $1,500 for a year. And I explained to her that, as we have said on this show, that insurance has gone up partly because of the increasing technology and cost in technology that's in the vehicles, which include cameras and other technological things, and the cost to repair cars, which is also, I think, skyrocketing, parts, etc., labor, and the like. There is no question that insurance costs have gone up, even for older insured cars. As I have found in the new six-year term that I am forced to deal with, but not as high as that yet for me. Partly because I have safe driving discounts, I have other discounts which help, and I do not know whether this person has those similar discounts applied at the $1,800 per 6 months rate she is paying with a very reputable insurance company.
So let me interrupt. I think we're lacking some of the information here, because I don't have much to say except that not too long ago I inquired with my insurance agent about insuring a new Rivian R2, and I'm trying to find the numbers really quickly here, and I'm not finding them. But I do not recall those numbers being crazy out of anything reasonable. I think a lot comes into insurance. All I can say is, keep comparing it. It always boggles my mind to see that commercials for insurance companies are always kind of a half joking, whether it's Liberty Mutual, Geico, or you think of all those goofy commercials and
Farmers,
we're talking about a major expense that we all have, and it seems that all the advertising is reduced to something a little quirky and sometimes funny. But let me ask you this about insurance, Robin. You have a fleet of vehicles. Is everything insured under one policy? Or with all of the old vehicles you have?
I think there are two policies because they don't handle the number of cars that I have insured under one policy, but it's the same relative. I do have a multi-car discount, and you can laugh at that. Yes, I only can drive one car at a time. I would like to think that I'm not paying the same insurance for all the cars just because I don't drive them all the time. I know there are insurance companies out there that actually can charge you by how you drive. I've never re investigated those, Jay. I think you've heard the ad for them too. In other words,
Yeah, now we're getting back. We're going on the tangent of a tangent here, but that's
yeah.
fine. You can get the little gizmos, the little
That reads the
snitches,
mileage and everything, yes.
and I am dead opposed to having a snitch hooked up to my car that tells the insurance company exactly how fast I was going, where
Right.
I was, when I braked for an obstacle or not.
Right.
And I am not, actually, I have not been offered that by my insurance company. And I'm sure if I
I have not
pursued
either.
it, but I know people who have it, and I've driven their cars, and every time you do something that's a little iffy, you hear a little beep and you go, oh yeah, somebody recorded this.
Really? Okay,
Yeah,
interesting.
I am not, to say that I'm not a fan is the understatement of the day.
Okay.
But, if you're willing to do that, or
Well, there are ways to save over the fee structure that I just recorded, we're recording, but reporting on. And I'm sure that you can get insurance for less, especially if you have the little gizmos that are actually tracking your daily use of the vehicle. And you are with an insurance company that provides those and claims that they are charging you less based on usage recording. But it's just that in 2026, everything's gone up. And I talked about this product when, we were talking about Hyundai vehicles because Hyundai came out with an N series of cars, which is a very high performance series, which had more stuff in it than the standard levels of the same cars. And I had, this was actually more than 2 or 3 years ago, I discussed it. And it wasn't the N series then, it was just a super high performance Sonata, which was race ready in effect. And, the cost, I think it was a news item that said that the insurance on the car was somewhere between $5,000 and $6,000 a year because of the technology that and the stuff that would have to be repaired if it was in a crash. So there are all sorts of ways to probably minimize an insurance cost on a vehicle, but it does it would probably take a long time to really go do a deep dive in it to try to save a few dollars here and there. But saving a few dollars here and there is like going to a discount gas station versus a retail gas station. You know, they add up over time, the total savings. So be it for insurance. Another thing which I've been noticing on the roads these days, especially at night, but even in the daytime running lights, is that what I've decided to decipher it as or define it as ribbon lighting is increasingly apparent on brands of cars. And ribbon lighting to me is full width from taillight to taillight on the corner lighting systems of a light bar that is on sometimes only at night, sometimes daytime. Tesla's has increased their lighting systems to one of these on their new Model Y, I believe. It's front and rear. It's not on all the time. I see the newest Model Y coming down the road, and they're just corner lights on. But occasionally, I see them with a full red light bar in the back and a white light bar in the front. The VW Atlas has got a full red bar. Lucid started it all, I think, and maybe the Tesla truck started it all. But I
They're
thought they
more
were
and
really
more.
cool. I thought they were really cool in the beginning, and now I'm getting tired of them, and I don't know why. And I don't know that the listeners really care for me to say anything more about it. But
What about the front light bars?
the front light bar, it's
Yeah, I
not
mean,
overly
look.
bright, the one, but it does go from
Lucid,
headlight to
Tesla.
headlight. Tesla's got it on there. I think it's a Model Y,
Yeah.
what did they redesign? And Lucid, I think, has got a full front light bar, light zone on it too. But some of the other car manufacturers have taken on to try to imitate these initial systems. And so it's just more lights to watch out coming at you at night or following down the road during the daytime and coming at you during the daytime. They're not blinding. They're just it's decor, and it's how the manufacturers keep sort of remaking their similarly looking models that don't change too much externally, but they can change the light systems and the light designs to define a 2026 Tesla Y, for example, versus a 2023. And that goes for other manufacturers that didn't have the light bars before, and VW is one of them, before they started putting on the Atlas level of car.
I don't even want to think about the cost of those light bars.
I don't know what they cost if they break down. I've noticed that some LED systems have lost two or three LED lights in their lighting systems, be it a bar or even being a taillight. And I just discovered that two LED elements in my 2014 Jeep Cherokee are out, and you wouldn't know it, probably following the vehicle down the road, but I did notice it, and I'd like to know what it costs to replace a. You probably have to replace the whole light fixture because it looks like it's a one-piece system with maybe 50 LED elements in it from end to end. I also noticed that pickup trucks are having auxiliary lighting systems like this, LED systems slung across the tops of their bumpers or at the bottom of their tailgates.
Don't get me
And
started.
that many of them don't work when they turn the signal light on, or some of the LEDs are out. And I just think they're sort of ugly. And I won't get you started, Jay, unless you want to follow in on this.
No, I don't. I just
But
remember the days of the.
I want to go back to the Honda vehicle because I happened to decide that this woman who owned the car decided she had several questions about what things were in this vehicle, and I said, "Have you read the instruction manual yet?" She said, "No." And I said, "Well, where is it?" And she went and got it for me. It is a 744 page encyclopedia on the Honda CRV line of vehicles. It covers all of them from the basic non-hybrid ones to the hybrid. So it's got information that no matter which one you have, it's presumably the same instruction manual. And I poured through it. I didn't read the whole thing. Certainly, who's going to read 744 pages of stuff? But I did highlight some things, including how the hybrid powertrain worked.
Well, I can tell you that I drive one of those on a regular basis, and it is very intuitive driving that car. You get in, there are buttons, there's a screen. You can figure out most of everything you need to know in very little time. It's
I
actually a
believe you
very
can.
pleasant car to drive. And I know you're trying to avoid putting me on the spot about the drivetrain, which I've said before on this show that there was no mechanical link between the engine and the drivetrain, and I that was untrue, as we both know. It part of the reason for my trying to simplify the way things work in this drivetrain, it's extremely complex. When the car came out a year and a half ago, maybe sometime in 2025. I read the articles on it over and over again and still did not understand half of it. There is a mechanical link between the engine and some of the wheels, and I don't even remember which ones, but it's still mainly two electric motors driving that car. And it's a great car. Kind
It
of
is a great
bland. Speaking of a little more exciting cars and out of the ordinary and our fun cars, and Robin, you and I both can relate to that, and a lot of people in our listening area do have fun cars, whether it be sports cars, luxury cars, classic cars, and in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks now, we'll have the historic festival here at Lime Rock Park, and that's always an extended weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. The events start with a parade, as we know, on Thursday through the local towns, and it's that time of year when we can start preparing for that. And it's a great event, and it the whole historic festival comes after we just finished the Monterey Week in California, which is probably the biggest event in the classic car world, probably it's, certainly in the country. And I read a little bit about it, and it's become very corporate, and all the manufacturers come and present their hypercars as a very high profile events, as an estimated $100 million worth of marketing effort put into the event. And it just gets to be a little bit too much. I think the charm of our historic festival is that it's on a scale that's still easy for people to go and watch and see those cars, touch the cars. And again, it starts with the Thursday parade, but then there are a few days of racing, a car show on Sunday at the track, and then more racing on Labor Day. And every year there is a featured marquee. I think last year it was Ford. This year it will be Alfa Romeo, which is kind of a sad thing because they don't have much of a lineup these days. But historically, they have been Alfa Romeo has been a pretty important brand both in racing and in the sports car, world.
Well, Alfa Romeos have always been a very interesting car and a fun car to drive too, even though their lineup is small. So, and
Best kept secret in the little SUV world right now is I'm trying to navigate the challenges of dealing with salespeople at different car dealerships. But don't get, I know you love that whole song and dance game, but it's kind of a ridiculous game. But that's a whole other story.
you mean negotiating the purchase of a vehicle? Is that what you're
Well,
talking
first of
about?
all, you inquire about a vehicle, whether it's on Autotrader, Car Gurus, and a vehicle is for sale by a dealer, and you click in the form. And in my case, I've been using Car Gurus, and you get two or three different salespeople from the same dealership. One tries to call you, one tries to text you, another tries to email you. They don't even know that you're 2,000 miles away, and they're trying to book you for a test drive that same day. I mean, it's just like they're all over the map. That's all I can say. And anyway, one car that seemed like something that I was really interested in just sold. So I'll be looking for something else. But it's the whole fun of looking for cars.
It is. I agree.
You love that. That's why you keep buying cars.
No, I'm not. I haven't bought a car in several years now. So,
Really?
well, there's nothing I you've had. You've queried me on this show, and our listeners will have to hear this again. That, I said I'm not buying any new cars, and they'll have a desire to buy any new cars, which has sort of stymied you in your attempt to find out what I might be interested in. But I'm looking at future product pipelines right now in Automotive News. And there's a whole bunch of new models coming forth. There's an Audi Q9 coming out. It's going to be the largest Audi on the. It's just apparently
Yeah,
largest vehicle, and it's.
it's a little bigger than the Q. The Q7 is a little smaller than the Mercedes GLS and the BMW X7 and the Range Rover. So they're trying to get on par and offer a product, Audi that is comparable to the big players in the luxury large full size SUV. And so it makes sense, but you're not seriously thinking of, you're not looking at buying a
I'm not looking.
Q9.
I'm just browsing through this magazine to see what other people, what the manufacturers are doing. And Mini's coming out with a Heritage Edition two-door, which has a emblazoned with a Union Jack roof. And other UK flag inspired details throughout the interior, whatever that is. They're probably going to show up in 2007 or 27 and 2028 as the Audi Q9 is going to be shown in New York in the 2028 auto show, but it'll probably be at the dealers well before that. You've got an AMG Mercedes 8 GT. We'll begin this year with a GT 55 variant. Have you ever seen a Mercedes AMG GT at the track, Jay? In the parking
Probably.
lot, which is where you'd likely see this and other cars of this kind, as people come up to the track in all their fancy cars. A lot of times, don't they, or do they come in their basic cars?
Well, people going to the track are bringing track cars, right? Not necessarily luxury cars. The AMG GT, you're talking about the two-seater sports car.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and there are one or two around town, actually. At least one that I know of. So what is going to be, what are you looking for cars?
Well, I
I'm
want to
trying to
say that
trick you into saying you're going to buy a car.
you have been promoting electric vehicles for a long time, and we talked about used cars and car pricing and all that. There was a news blip last week that I saw that says that electric car sales were up 10% over what 2 months ago or something, and are increasingly being picked on. And these are mostly used ones. The used electric vehicle market is apparently rebounding very quietly, but whereas I think you told the listeners here that you. Good electric used vehicles were cheap. They still are probably cheap, but they are rising in price as more and more people are sort of quietly cozying up to the electric car era and thinking that yes, it's not bad to have an electric car in your inventory of vehicles for two cars or three car families.
Well,
That's good for them. That's good for the electric cars. And of course, American manufacturers sort of collapse their electric. Their vehicles, Ford with its F-150 truck. They still have the Mach 3 Mustang, which hopefully they'll keep. Again, Tesla's doing, I think, fairly well with their Tesla lineup, their revised lineup.
so here's the deal. Here's the deal with the electric car market. After a slump in the last couple of years, in the rest of the world, and specifically in Europe and in the UK, electric car sales are creeping up again. And in Europe, before this happened here, a lot of the tax incentives, like in Germany, disappeared. Like the $7,500 tax credit disappeared here. And obviously, in the first reaction, in the aftermath of that, electric car sales were down. Now, throughout Europe and the rest of the world, electric car sales are back up. Here in the US, electric car sales are still decreasing. And so the question is there a future for the electric car here in the US or not? And I was just reading a little blurb on that, and the short answer is yes. It's just going to take a little time. I think the problem we have, and the difference I see with other parts of the world, and I'm thinking of Europe particularly, is that the most electric cars are higher end cars, more expensive cars, right? And if you're trying to sell a cost advantage, you're preaching a cost advantage to the people who can afford it the most, afford cars the most, kind of doesn't really make a lot of sense. So until we see more affordable electric cars, we're going to be, I think that market is going to be a little bit in limbo. Now, as we go on and gas prices don't seem to go down and the cost of batteries does keep going down, we're going to see more new affordable EVs getting to the market, like the new Kia EV3. Which is, I just saw an article on it, and it's coming out and starting prices under $30,000. So I think we need to see electric cars, more cars like the Bolt, like the Kia EV3, like the Ioniq 5, cars that have reasonable size, not too much power, and that are affordable. And as the infrastructure gets better, we're going to see more of them, and that's just a reality. Now, coming back to used EVs, Yes, there was a surge
But yes,
in sales in
abusing these is worth it.
2023 and 2024, and those a lot of those electric cars were leased, and they're getting dumped on the market. And yes, I was looking again. You can buy, an electric Mercedes EQS that costs over $100,000. You can buy a 2-year-old one for less than half the price. So going used is still a smart way to go in the EV
Especially in
world.
the electric car world, I think.
Yes.
Because, Jade, isn't it true that the batteries seem to last a long time, even though the warranties seem to run 100,000 miles or maybe 10 years with some of the
Yeah, and we know batteries lose some of their
strength.
and so after 100,000, I don't know what the rate is, but you lose 5 or up to 5-10%, sometimes more of your battery capacity and therefore the range you have. But over the lifetime of a car, I'm not sure it matters all that much if you have a decent range to start with. And also, it's interesting to note, I think, that Tesla sells used batteries. I think a new Tesla battery is $14,000 to $15,000. You can buy a used Tesla battery, a reman one, on their website for, I think, around $8,000. So,
I do not know what the need for new batteries is, Jay. Isn't it something that you talked about maybe a few years back on this show, that batteries have been lasting as much as the original batteries have been lasting up to 200,000 miles on Teslas out in California?
yeah, I'm not going to put out any numbers. I haven't
No,
looked at
we can't
stats
put
in
out
any
guaranteed
time recently,
lengths
but
on these batteries, but they are lasting longer than people's concerns might come into play with when they're looking at used electric vehicles. I do not know what electric vehicles warranties come with and used in the used state, if there is such a thing as a used electric vehicle sale warranty, which includes the batteries. But they have been lasting quite a long time. I did know a user of a original a Prius, probably she no longer owns it. It would be now a 15-year-old Prius. She had 135,000 miles on it when she traded in, and she hadn't had any problem with her batteries over that period of time, and she'd had it for like 8 years. So it all spokes, I think it speaks well for the general longevity of the original batteries that come with the cars, and therefore maybe it is not necessarily something purchasing used electric vehicle purchaser needs to fret about. But I don't really know because I haven't done that and I haven't ever owned an electric vehicle. So that's
hey,
my disclaimer.
a little trivia. Did you know that Lincoln was manufacturing some of their models in China?
Yes, I did.
Well, I only know that now that Ford has announced that they're bringing production back to the U.S. If
Yeah,
they haven't.
I forget which model it is, but there's certainly one that, yes, it's been one of their more successful models. It's not the Navigator, however.
No, they're all boat-related names. Like, I think it's the Nautilus.
It may be the Nautilus, yes, that may be one, and the other one below that may be also.
Yeah,
Well,
I
I'm
still.
sure they're tariff infected, though. It's got to be tariff infected for us back.
Well, that's what they're saying, that there was this whole article about an interview of, I think, Jim Farley, who's the CEO at Ford, talking about how we're starting to see positive effects of the tariffs.
Yes, okay. I think we.
I'm a little skeptical of that, but okay.
Well, I think we are about out of time. And so until next week, we are Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.